Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show underway at 9:19, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. Premier coffee roasted and delivered in small batches. The beans are always hand-roasted, delivered fresh to assure you a rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. Get yours at work like we do here at the Radio Ranch, or stop by your local convenience store or grocery store for Harvest Ridge. Joining me via the phone lines this morning is Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Out traveling this morning, headed back towards Quincy, so I didn't want to miss my Mary Griffith, though, I'll tell you that.
Well, we are glad. We don't want to miss you. You always have your finger on the pulse of what is going on in the arts world, so what's happening?
Yeah, we're really excited about some of the things going on in January. If you haven't picked up your latest edition of Arts Quincy magazine or checked it out online, there's over 80 events just in the very first part of this year that you could be taking part in. So one of the first ones I want to talk about today is the American Association of University Women Speaker Series, a terrific speaker series year-round. I've been a guest there several times, and I just love the audiences that come to these to hear about really diverse and interesting topics. The Quincy branch welcomes anybody, they say with a college degree, but anybody with a little college background and just interested in learning more about people in our community. And on Saturday, January 25th, Stacey Nichols will speak about rescue pets. So she has a presentation. It's called From Rescued to Valued, and that's our topic for January. She's a volunteer with the Boxer and Schnauzer Rescue of the Ozarks, which is, of course, a breed-based dog rescue, and a member of the Quincy Kennel Club. In February, John Baird will be the guest, and he's doing a terrific presentation. I mean, John is a brilliant scientist. His presentation is on artificial intelligence. It's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of AI.
Yeah, he's an astronaut, or was. He was in the NASA program. He never went into space, but he's one of the smartest people in Quincy by far, that's for sure.
I would say that's true. But again, that speaker series goes year-round, always interesting topics, always interesting folks coming in to give these presentations. It is free, takes place on the fourth Saturday of the month while school is in session. And the meeting generally starts at the beginning of the meeting is about 10:15, with the speaker starting around 11. So find out all about that on artsquincy.org, and you can get all the details, times, and speakers for every month.
Well, that sounds great. The American Association of University Women, but they're open to men now, too.
That's right.
And what else is going on?
Yeah, next on the list, the Adams County Bicentennial Committee, of course, has been really, really active, kicking off this 200th year of Adams County. And they're looking for people to be in an all-faith choir to honor the 200th birthday of Adams County. They are announcing the Adams County Religious Freedom and Heritage Day on Saturday, May 10th, and all religious organizations in the area are invited to join the all-faith choir, which will unite voices from over 100 congregations, is the hope. Each congregation is invited to sing four singers, two male and two female, to join this 150-voice choir. To participate, we've got phone numbers and emails on our website, but it's Dr. Nathan Seaman and nathan.seaman74@gmail.com if you're quick enough to write it down. But the registration deadline is coming up at the end of January. You can find those numbers on artsquincy.org. We'll publish that again today if your church is interested in sending some singers for the choir.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. So if you have a voice and you would like to be part of that historic event and meet the best singers from throughout Adams County, it's going to be a church sing extraordinaire. So make sure you get with the Bicentennial Commission or your church and get your name in on that roster. Looking forward to that. Always more happening, though, with Arts Quincy.
That's right. Quincy Community Theater just came off a really successful run of Cinderella, but it's already time to think about what's next, and auditions for Waitress are coming right up. They're January 22nd through 24th, and it's the first main stage production of this calendar year. And Waitress is a musical that celebrates second chances and having the courage to follow through on your dreams. You can sign up for a 10-minute vocal and read audition on January 23rd or 24th. and a dance audition. So this one's got some dance dance components as well. Performances are in March, and the entire instructions on how to audition for a show at QCT are on QCT, oneqct.org. So you can get all of the instructions on how to be a part of this great show.
And, of course, they've now got tickets on sale, so we want to be in Waitress. Go there and audition, but if you want to see the next show, it's not on the season ticket, is the teen edition of Six, about the Six Wives of Henry VIII. That musical is going up on the boards later this month, and tickets are on sale now, and they are very limited. They're only going to have 1,500 tickets to sell, so be sure to get your tickets today at oneqct.org. Anything else for the good of the cause? I think there's one more thing on your list, isn't there?
There is, last but not least, as I say, Quincy Civic Music Association is bringing in Candace Hill Saturday, January 25th at 7:30 at State Street Theater. This is a percussionist, educator, accomplished performer who's worked with so many prestigious groups. She's known for dynamic performances around the country, but also internationally. And she's a steel pan performer. So, you know, the sounds of the islands is what comes to mind when you think of a steel pan. But she's really going to explore different musical styles in addition to what is traditional steel pan music. Tickets are just $25. Again, I always say with Quincy Civic Music, you could go spend three times more seeing them in St. Louis, or you could see this amazing performer here for just $25. Kids 18 and under are always free. You can get those tickets at Square Music Company, Sturhan Jewelers, Hy-Vee and Neiman and Quincy, as well as at quincycivicmusic.org. Terrific show coming up from Quincy Civic Music.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Laura Sievert. Very safe travels to you as you head back to Quincy. And we're going to be talking about another great event in just a moment, and that is the Eagle Watching Days and the Native American Heritage Days coming up in Quincy. So you have a safe travel, and everybody out there in Radio Land, stay tuned. We're going to be right back with Leslie Haslam and the Standing Bear Council. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Every year this time, Leslie Haslam calls and says, I need to be on the Mary Griffith Show because we want to talk about the Eagle Gathering and the Powwow Days, and that is coming up on January 25th and 26th, Saturday and Sunday in Quincy. Of course, the Eagles will be outdoors along the river,
but
there will be some Eagles inside that are in the Raptor Rehab Program, so we'll talk about that. We'll get to a Leslie in just a moment. Bruce Mechnig is also here, and I want you to introduce yourself and tell us about your involvement here with the Native American Days and the Eagle Watching Days.
Okay, so I got involved with Standing Bear Council a number of years back through the Boy Scouts. We had them help out with a camporee, and then when I was lodge advisor for the Order of the Arrow, I also worked with the council to make sure that our ceremonies were very respectful of the Native tradition, and just kept on my involvement since then, and working to spread the word about Native culture and history, and just really enjoying doing that.
Well, you are not yourself then Native American.
No, I'm not.
Right, but you have a great respect for their culture, and as someone who's working with Boy Scouts and other groups, whenever we do reenactments or, you know, anything like that, we have to be careful to be respectful. I remember one time I asked somebody, tell me about your costume. They were very polite, but they said, it is regalia. It is not a costume. It is not a costume. So I think the thing I like about that is, the people that are there that are from the Native American culture, they understand that we don't know what we don't know. We're not trying to be disrespectful. So they're very gently educating us. This is what you say. This is what you do. And so that is all part of what's happening with Great River Eagle Days. Now, a lot of people, I think, understand there's a great connection between the American bald eagle and the Native American culture from coast to coast. And whenever you have, whenever you say Native American, it's almost like saying, we're going to have an American culture day. Well, I'm going to bring my Irish culture to that. And somebody else is going to bring their Portuguese culture to that. And somebody else is going to bring their Filipino culture to that. So when you have a Native American celebration, Leslie Haslam. Mm-hmm. Not every single group will be represented, and not every Native American has the same culture or customs. So what are you trying to hit? You're trying to get somewhere down the middle to educate people, right?
Yeah, we tried to give the basics of how our culture works and how we have survived over the years and things that have taken place.
Get right on that microphone. Yeah.
You know, things that have taken place.
Move
and
it like this so that you're, yeah. Move it like this so you're looking at me through it. Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Now you're
okay.
On track. Now you're on
I know,
track.
It's like
there you go.
Easier to look at you. So we're trying to give people, you know, the truth behind a lot of different things and that we're still here. Mm-hmm. I've run across people that said, oh, there's still Native Americans? Yeah, we like to be called indigenous for the most part because you have those people from down in South America all the way up through Canada that are indigenous, you know, and I've had people say, well, you should have just, you know, the American Native Americans at the powwow. And I said, no, I said, all indigenous people
are
welcome.
The Americas go from South America to mm-hmm. North America. People in Canada get really irritated when we say we're Americans. They're like, we're North Americans too.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So I think we all tend to see things from our own point of view.
Right.
And
we're all educating different
things. We're educating ourselves all the time.
Yep.
This is going to be January 25th and 26th, Saturday mm-hmm. and Sunday from 10 to 5.
Yep.
And we bring in the Eagles because you're going to be able to see the Eagles in abundance down on our riverfront at the Lock and Dam and other places where they will have viewing. And you can see the Eagles searching for food and swooping down into the waters of the Mississippi River, especially on places like the dam where the water is broken and open.
Yep.
They love that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the connection between the indigenous people of this geography and the American or indigenous eagle? We'll call it an indigenous eagle.
There we go. Well, the eagle represents the strength behind us, for one. And the eagle is the one bird of prey that flies the highest up to take our messages and our prayers to the Creator and brings us back messages also. So that is, you know, just been a symbolic thing throughout many, many tribes. Not everyone does, but most of the tribes represent with the eagle. And
it's a universal bird across all of this whole geography. From the East Coast and up in Maine all the way down to California, there are eagles.
Yep.
And so
there's different types,
and there's
too.
Different types, but I mean, the eagle is kind of the universal. That's why it's our United States of America symbol. It kind of is universal across our land.
Exactly, exactly. And I think they got it from the indigenous peoples about using the eagle instead of the turkey like it was going to be.
Well, Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey.
He did,
But who wants to eat their national symbol on Thanksgiving
Exactly.
Day? That's kind of crazy. Of course, eagles are making a comeback now. They were endangered for many years. Now they're making a comeback, and in many ways, the indigenous culture is making a comeback. So I have to ask you something. To ask you something I've been dying to ask you ever since I knew you were coming on.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Yellowstone, the series.
Yes, so am I.
And they had a storyline of the indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, you don't have to, I think most people know how it ends by now, but you don't have to spoiler alert if you don't want to. But how did Yellowstone, in your estimation as a Native person, how did Yellowstone tell the story of the indigenous people in the Yellowstone, Wyoming area?
They basically hit it spot on. I mean, for the most part. I've missed a lot of the show because my channels keep changing. But for the most part. And Kevin Costner, who runs most of that, who I've known him for years.
Well, excuse me.
He does work a lot with the Native Americans. So he does know the actual stories and the traditions. And so he is trying to put that out there as best he can with what he does know. And
he's like the Bruce McNig. He's the one that wants to respect the
and
culture.
He's got some Cherokee in him also.
I think a lot of people, if we, you know, we do that DNA ancestry stuff now, I think a lot of us will find out that sooner or later there's going to be something in our heritage usually, unless you're a very late comer as an immigrant to the United States, because back in the, quote, olden days, there wasn't anybody to marry but people who were already there. When you moved in, you know, unless you're going to marry your own sister, you...
It's coming up a lot now, too, that there's a lot of Scottish mixed in with Native American, and that Scottish trait starts popping in, and people are going, well, I don't have any sky. It got intermixed a long time ago.
Okay.
You know, because there were a lot of them here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But anytime there's a lot of them and a lot of them, there's going to be a lot of us.
Oh, yeah.
you can't keep that away from that. Well, this is a wonderful event, and we're going to take a break. We're going to go up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's happening there on the farm markets. And when we come back, I just want to go down the list of activities. Mm-hmm. Very reasonable entry rate. Mm-hmm. I think the Boy Scouts will be out in force. I'm sure they're probably as well. It's a great learning experience for them. But everybody is welcome. So we're going to tell you all about it. It's at the Oakley Lindsay Center at 3rd in York, January 25th and 26th, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5. Kids 10 and under get in free, $7 for adults, which includes 11 and up. And if you're old and like me, you get in for just $5. There's some advantage to living this long. We'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. This report is brought to you by Rex Battery. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. A silent partner in all this is Holly Kane. She's the director of tourism. She's sitting here quietly just listening because we kind of missed the lead. Because, you see, Leslie Haslam and Bruce Mechnig come in here, and they're going to talk about Eagle Days. And then just as we get ready to go to a commercial break, they said, oh, did you know one of the great people from American Idol is coming? I'm like, duh, no, I didn't. So we should have led with that 20 minutes ago, but bearing the lead, as usual, tell us a little bit about Tristan Harper, 16 years old, top 10 finisher on American Idol, Choctaw Indian. Mm-hmm. And I love this because, Bruce, you were saying he wants to come to learn about his heritage. He wants to come to a festival where native people are. So, yeah, Leslie, Bruce, tell us about this, please.
That's correct. We put our powwow up on powwows.com, and they saw it and called us and said, hey, we'd like to come and be part of your powwow. And we said, by all means.
Isn't this how the people from Yellowstone came a few years ago?
They came a couple years ago. Yeah. Yes, we had some of them secretly running around.
Secret.
Johnny Depp came too.
Yes.
Dolly Parton arrived, but something happened and she had to leave.
Yeah. Okay. Her eyes weren't pecked out by an eagle or anything. We wouldn't have heard about
the
that.
The manager made a mess up and she was supposed to be in Branson the same day.
Oh. Yeah. So she got here, said, nice to see you. I'm on my way to Branson. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people don't know how far away they are. They probably thought she could be at, you know, Quincy at 11 and Branson by noon.
Something,
who
knows?
Something like that.
I saw her bus in the parking
lot. Okay.
Yeah. I know she was
so
here.
Tristan Harper is coming, and this will just be one more reason. Now, this person, though, they want to be part of the crowd. Are they going to do something, or do they want to more be like, hey, I'm here as an observer. I'm not here to perform.
He is performing. Mm-hmm. From 10:30 to 11 on Saturday and Sunday. And he will also perform at 3 and 3:30 on Saturday and Sunday. And he will be set up with a little booth to do his CDs and to do autographs and probably take part in dancing and everything else with us.
I was going to say, he'll get out and do some of the, does he have his own regalia? How into his, he wants to learn more, so we don't know, do we?
He relates with a tribe where he's from in McIntosh, Alabama.
Okay.
And he's got a video where you see him with his group and that. So I'm assuming he does have some regalia, but he's trying to reach back into his heritage and learn a little more and hit the powwow trail.
He's come for 2 days of great, great things. Let's first talk about the Wildlife Raptor, the Wildlife Center, Treehouse Wildlife Center that rehabilitates raptors will be there. So up close we can see eagles and maybe some owls or osprey or whatever they bring.
Hawks and
hawks.
Vultures and some other critters they do bring.
Let's talk about the Gray Cloud Singers and Drums.
That is our group drum. They come from
Pennsylvania.
And they're the hottest drums all around the East Coast. They go out and about, and they've been our singers for several years now, and they run the powwow by playing and having the dancers come out with them.
So drums a way to signal things that something next is coming, right?
In a way, but what our drums actually do is the circle is our prayer area, and so it's very sacred. The drum is the medicine. It is the heartbeat of Mother Earth, and you know, people get out there, and while they're dancing, most of the time, many are praying in their heads as they go about. They're, you know, getting that drum beat into them is basically how it's working.
And this is why the education, Bruce, is so important, because this is not just people, you know, dancing around, you know, like doing the Watusi, whatever.
Right.
They are, it's a religious experience for them. And I went to the University of Illinois, and they retired the, quote, mascot, Chief Illiniwek. And, you know, I had mixed feelings about it, but I said, well, somebody explained to you. I asked a native one time. I asked an indigenous person one time. I said, what's the deal here? Because I was over at school at that time, and they had a stand, and they were, you know, protesting. He said, well, what religion are you? I said, I'm Catholic. He said, how would you like it if during the seventh inning stretch of a San Diego Padres game, they went on and reenacted a Catholic mass and were real jokey about it and were real, they weren't authentic about it, you know, and they were like elevating the host and showing the most sacred part of your religious ceremony, which is the transformation of the bread and wine. And that was some hokey thing they did, you know, to drum up hot dog and popcorn sales at a Padres game. I said, you know what? I get it. I don't feel that way, but now I understand how you feel. Because now it was brought home to me. So I think that's really important that we understand these are religious ceremonies, and we're allowed to see them.
Can I correct you a little bit? It's more of a spiritual experience, not a religious experience.
It's spiritual.
There's no there's no church of the indigenous people.
That's correct. Yes.
But it is praising and worshiping a creator and invoking a creator to help you. So
and the rest of creation as well.
Mother Earth,
the circle of life is very much part of their culture.
As a nature, as a god. Okay. So we're going to get to see the drums and the authentic drumming. There's going to be a teepee display. Now, not all Indians lived in teepees. Those on the plains did. Those in the those in Maine decided that wasn't warm enough, so they those in Alaska did not live in a teepee. But what is, you know, it's important to see a teepee and what a teepee was.
Yeah, well, the engineering that goes behind it, I mean, Bruce really knows the engineering because he deals with our teepee.
How hard is it to put up a teepee?
It's not really that hard. The worst part is putting up the lift pole with the canvas on it, because that gets pretty heavy and and kind of unstable when you get it standing up and trying to lay it in place.
And there's no circus to help you, unfortunately.
That's right,
So this was a group. This also shows how they had to work together as a team in order to construct their housing.
But back in the day, the women owned the teepees, and they were the ones that took them down and moved them and set them back up. So,
but
so
they had to do
they would
that.
Work together.
They had
yes.
to do that in a group, because no one person would be strong enough to do that. So again, it was a. Would you call most Plains Indians? We'll just talk about that group. Would you call them mostly communal livers?
Most all of them are.
Yeah, I mean, I know in Alaska and in the Northwest and the Northeast, they're communal livers, especially in the winter, because they come together under one shelter. But I just didn't know if people considered Plains Indians communal livers or not.
Yeah, they worked as a community, and most tribes do, because that's how you had to function.
Yeah, more as a clan.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're also going to have music. There'll be a demonstration of flute playing. There'll be all kinds of different demonstrations, native dancing. Now, sometimes you have people come from like an Aztec background to dance. Sometimes they've come from the woodlands tribes to dance. Is there a specific focal point this year for the dancing?
We have a hoop dancer this year that's coming. We had a world champion hoop dancer last year, and this year we have a different hoop dancer, Johnny Thor. He's going to do some hoop dancing for us.
Is that mostly southwestern tribes hoop dancing, or did that happen in Minnesota too? I don't see. Bruce, I'm as ignorant as I can be about this, but that's why I love it. I figure if I don't know it, nobody else does either.
Yeah, it's kind of most southwestern, but it did travel across into other groups, and other groups are doing it also.
Well, gee whiz, just like we as pioneers moved around, native people, some of them, I'm sure there was some 17-year-old said, huh, this Pueblo, I'm out of here, baby. There's got to be something better on the other side. I'm getting myself up to Minnesota. I hear those Lakota chicks are hot, you know.
There you go.
So, I mean, they moved around, too, although they stuck, you know, in their groups.
Yeah.
That's why we have seashells as trade items inland in America.
Oh, there's a lot of different things all over the place, and they're discovering different tribes did actually go quite a distance.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the Great Lakes tribes had access to the ocean through the Great Lakes system, you know. So we're finding out an awful lot. And I noticed that, I don't know if you're a big fan of PBS like I am, but I've been to Alaska three times, and so I've learned from native speakers, from indigenous people, about what their culture is like. And I've seen the totem pole work, and I've seen the lodges, and I've seen some of their dancing and their storytelling. And I just love the fact that PBS, now it's presenting a point of view. Again, everybody can have a different point of view. I mean, they could do the history of redheads in America, and I could watch that and say, that is so much baloney. I can't believe it, but it's somebody's experience.
Yes.
Now that we have a Native American month and we have an Indigenous Peoples Month and we try to know more, do you feel, Leslie, that the average person is knowing more about
They're
Indigenous?
Starting to, really, because I've come across a lot of kids that go, oh, there's still Indians around? They thought we were gone. We've actually had a lot of schools call us, and we do presentations at the schools, some here in Quincy. We did three schools in one day up in Keokuk during the Indigenous Month.
Good. Because they've got a big equal culture up there in Keokuk.
And the kids
as well.
Really responded very well. They understood things. They knew some things when I was asking questions. And they had a great time.
Is Standing Bear Council involved in the bicentennial of Adams County? Or do you like go, well, it's nice you're celebrating coming and getting rid of all of us? I mean, how do you feel about that? You know, it's kind of like when we have... When the English, you know, have something to in Ireland, I'm like, well, thank you for trying to decimate us. It's so lovely for you to come over and have some kind of festival.
Under the table, so far, we've kind of been hinted at about being part of that. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting point of view. I mean, John Wood and the early settlers here got along pretty well, in their opinion, with the natives. I mean, you know, they got along pretty well with them, in their opinion. There's nobody... That's the trouble. The winner always gets to tell the story.
That's true.
That's correct.
The winner gets to tell the story. And so while we celebrate, and I think it's good that we're celebrating 200 years of Adams County being a legitimate government county, Hancock County the same way. Listen, before everybody was Pike County, so 200 years ago, big things happened.
Yep.
But about 230 years ago, maybe even bigger things happened, but one group didn't fare quite so well. They talked about how we need trading down on the riverfront. I mean, there was trading on the riverfront. It just wasn't people from... It just wasn't white Protestant men. It was all kinds of trading going on down on the riverfront.
The river was a big source for trading for natives and the settlers.
Yeah, that's why, you know, let's face
it. It's their highway.
People are people. And so they knew, you know, John Wood came here and said, well, nobody else really wants to live here. The land grants of 1812, the War of 1812, a lot of people did not want to come out into the, quote, wilderness. He was willing to do it.
Yeah.
Of course, the wilderness wasn't wilderness. There were people here. Yeah. And when we talk, when I'm a docent at John Wood Mansion and we talk about the log cabin, one of the things we talk about is how important it is to find a beehive or get a beehive right away. Mm-hmm. So you have a source of you know, sweetener and stuff like that and a source of pollination. And there again, right there, it just goes to show you they had to... They had to help, those natives had to help them find all that stuff when they got here.
So, and taught them a lot of different things as,
taught
you
them
know,
a lot
over
of
time.
Different things. Absolutely. Well, let's recap this. I wanted you to recap this. Tristan Harper. So Tristan Harper is a 16-year-old boy who was on American Idol, made it into the top 10. He identifies with the Choctaw Nation. He's indigenous. And he is going to be coming and performing. And I'll give the times and dates, but what exactly is it he's going to be doing?
He is a country singer, and he is awesome. You can find him on YouTube and see several of his videos. He has his own song, which I believe is called Hope, that he wrote, and it's a really interesting song to listen to. It has a lot of good meaning to it, and he's just fantastic.
And he found out, Bruce, from the internet that the powwow was going on January 25th and 26th, and he himself wanted to come here because he wants to learn more about his culture. Is there anything in particular that you know that he's interested in?
We haven't had that discussion. I've been kind of thinking about what can we do to help him and his mother to kind of learn more about the native culture. Maybe not Choctaw itself, but in general some of the overarching themes in their culture.
Well, make sure they get down to the Trail of Tears monument, you know, in front mm-hmm. of St. Boniface Church and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Again, not a great moment in their history, but a moment mm-hmm. in their history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
I mean, you know, the potato famine wasn't really good for my folks either, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's nice to know and learn about it. So I think that's one of the things that we need to do, and maybe you guys can help with that, and I think you have.
Yeah,
showing history from a different point of view. Mm-hmm. Showing what Quincy was like 200 years ago, or maybe better, 400 years ago, mm-hmm. from a different point of view, before it was settled, as if it wasn't already settled. And we're all, right. I'm guilty of it. Mm-hmm. We're all guilty of it.
Oh, yeah.
We talk in our own ethnocentric way. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't, every time I write a news story about the bicentennial, I don't preface it with, there were people living here before, and, you know, mm-hmm. I don't go through all that.
Right.
I just present it to the masses as here's right. an event mm-hmm. that's happening on Friday night.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think it's also good for us to know that before these people made it here, somebody else had already been here, and they were doing quite well.
Yeah, well, you look and see, well, the Indian Mounds are here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That gives you proof that we were here a long
Absolutely.
Time ago.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The charge for this is nominal. Children 10 and under get in free. 11 and up, you're considered an adult or a regular admission, and that is $7. And that's per day, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then $5 for anyone over 60. Used to be that if you came in your scout uniform, you got in free. Is that
yes,
still
the
true?
Scouts
yes.
can come in for free. Scouts, if they have their uniform
wear
on.
Wear your uniform, and you will get in free. The Oakley Lindsay Center at 3rd and York, open to the public. All day on Saturday from 10 to 5, Sunday from 10 to 5. The grand entry is at noon on Saturday, and the veterans will be honored. All kinds of entertainment all throughout that day, with Tristan Harper playing 10:30 to 11 Saturday and Sunday morning, and 3 to 3:30 on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And the Blessing of the Eagles is at 11 o'clock on Sunday. And again,
that'll actually take place at 10 on Sunday.
Okay,
yeah,
10.
We had to make a little adjustment there.
Okay, well, I will make that adjustment. That sounds good. And again, people are welcome to come and to participate as much as they want. But remember, mm-hmm. this is a spiritual event. So mm-hmm. just like I wouldn't walk into Columbus Road Baptist Church and start walking down the aisles and going, what's that? What's that? What's that? I don't understand what's going on.
When it comes to the circle, yes. But this is a kind of our winter gathering. And so it's kind of a reunion for a lot of different mm-hmm. people, a lot of different other
sure.
tribes, and that we all get together and we just really have a good time, you know, mm-hmm. enjoying ourselves and getting yep. into that circle.
And the kids have a candy dance.
Oh, yes, there's a yes. candy dance happening.
Oh,
candy
yes.
dance.
Oh, yes.
And we have a lot of good vendors that have a lot of really neat merchandise for sale.
Yes, if you want to celebrate Indigenous history, you may eat their food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and fried bread and Indian
fried
tacos.
Fried bread and Indian tacos. Okay, mm-hmm. It is fantastic. Well, thank you very much, mm-hmm. Bruce Mechnick. Anything else you want to add, Bruce? Did I miss something?
I think we covered it.
Okay, thank you for being the white guy here. and Leslie, thank you for my gift. Leslie always brings me a gift, and it's always wrapped in red cloth,
mm-hmm.
traditional
mm-hmm.
for how you receive a gift from the Native American people. And folks, just one thing, remember, if you get a chance, Indigenous people were everywhere. So when you go on vacation, mm-hmm. look for them. And mm-hmm. don't just look for them in relation to you.
Yep.
Look for them in relation to them and think how you did that. And I think that's one great thing, even though these cruise ships to Alaska are very commercialized. And, you know, you do get to see Native people doing Native things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, yes, they're performing it in a way for the cruise boats, but mm-hmm. it's something they're doing 365 days a year, not just when the princess is in town. So be sure to enjoy. Thank you very much, and we'll do it all again tomorrow, folks.
All right. Thank you.